When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with T-Rex.
What up?
We have Alan Juban in studio.
Thank you guys.
Coming off his first UFC win. That was awesome. That was amazing. I was really actually proud of you because 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I went to Legends, which was this gym in Hollywood, and we talked about it last week. There was this little octagon out on the sidewalk,
and
here's this like good-looking brown hair guy wearing a tank top, and I was like, "Hey, you want to wrestle?" And you're like,
"Sure."
All right, let's start the show over again.
Okay, no. So and then we wrestled, and you at the time you had no wrestling background.
Yeah, no grappling experience at all. You know,
no grappling experience. And then 7 years later, or 6 years later, you're in the UFC knocking fools out, man. How amazing is that?
Yeah, it all kind of came full circle, man. I just stuck with it. I remember that, man. Yeah, you used to kill me in wrestling. I started off in Muay Thai. I didn't like the ground at all. It took me a while to even do jiu-jitsu. And today I'm a brown belt under Eddie Bravo in jiu-jitsu. My wrestling, I'm always work in progress, working with Kenny Johnson. But yeah, man, it's like I said, it's come full circle.
Well, just so you know, me killing you wrestling, I'm retiring from that. So I'm going off on, yeah, on killing you.
He wants a rematch now.
It's going to be like Rocky 1. Hey, give me no rematch. Hey, give me that at the very end. No rematch. So no, man, I was so thrilled. Now tell me about that, because I will start with my week and we'll talk about T-Rex's week afterwards. But I want to hear, cool. I mean, what exactly does it feel like to be in the UFC? You said you were thinking about it every day for 7 years.
Yeah, exactly, man. It really, really, truly, I'm not making this, I mean, you always hear people say, you know, it's a dream come true, you realize your dreams. Machida has that famous speech, like, you know, you can realize your dreams, when he won the title. And it's true, I've never had that feeling in my life, man. I've never felt like it was a dream come true into this, you know. It was something that I thought about every day for almost 10 years now that I've been training. And to get the call to the UFC was amazing. To get the W was amazing. To get a knockout, to get the bonus. I mean, everything just kept coming one after another. And it really, I didn't sleep for 2 days. The adrenaline dump, you know, the adrenaline rush took a while to wear off. But yeah, coming back home to LA and waking up in my own bed, getting up, walking my dog, and I was just kind of like, holy shit, like I just did it. You know, like.
So what do you make? And you got a bonus, right? $50,000?
50 G's, man. Yeah.
So, and how much did you make for the actual fight?
I start off at the bottom tier, which is pretty much the normal sign, you know, unless you have a big name, you start off at 8-8, 10-8, and you work your way
so
up.
So 16, there. so you made $76,000.
$66,000.
Math.
The New York made, public
school,
yeah,
yeah, public school, it's horrible. So you came home with $66,000. That's a pretty good night. I mean, it's a good night work.
And yes, it was something. Well, I mean,
yeah, but it took him 10 years to get there.
Yeah, it's a good 7 years of work, actually. 7 years, that's less than $10,000 a year, actually. Now that you're a good-looking guy, everyone kept saying, I know that you used to model, right?
Or
you,
yeah, yeah.
Now, were you a big model? You were a runway model?
I still do it, man. And I'd been modeling and like doing a little bit of acting and stuff for about 10 years now. It was one of these things that kind of fell in my lap. I moved to New York, did it there. I went to Miami and ended up in L.A. And it was just something, like I said, that fell in my lap. But I wouldn't say I was a big model, and I wasn't really. I've done all kinds of modeling over the last 10 years, but I wouldn't say I was a runway model. The main stuff that I do, man, I'm an athletic guy, and you know, companies like Asics and Oakley, and you know, things like companies like that have been hiring me for years, and just doing.
Now, as far as acting goes, you said you did a little acting. What have people seen you in?
Commercials, man. Commercials strictly. I don't really do that much theatrical stuff.
Adult films,
things of that sort. But no, mainly commercials, man. You know, like, I can't even think right now, but I've done some orange juice commercials, Progressive Insurance commercials. I've done cell phone commercials, I think. I've done a little bit of everything over
so
the years.
So you're a fighter, you're acting, you're a model.
He's everything you want to be.
Oh, God. Everything I want to be. And but the thing is, you're married. Are you out of your fucking mind?
I know.
Do you know how much pussy you could be getting right now?
I know. Like, one of my friends... Zach from 10th Planet, he always says, that's a waste of a good dick right there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
For another man to tell you that.
No, but, so, it's pretty gay, but it's a good quote from him.
So, yeah. I think Zach wants your dick. But I'm serious. Like, I mean, your wife must be, she must, do you tell her, look, listen, do you know how much tail I could be getting if you ever broke up with me? Is that one of the, like, the cards you pull?
No, not at all. I have a good wife. I'm blessed.
Is she smoking hot?
She's a beautiful girl. She's Thai. She's a beautiful woman.
What does she do?
She's in the beauty business. She does like eyelashes and esthetician and facials and all that stuff. But right now we have a 2-year-old son, so she's juggling being a full time mom and doing that as well. So I'm blessed, man. She supports me 100%. She helps. You know, she does everything at home. She takes care of me, man.
Well, good for you, man. I mean, you seem like a very nice guy. I've actually been like training over at 10th Planet with Jared. Mm-hmm. Is he your jiu-jitsu coach?
Jared Carlson. Yeah, well, I mean, Eddie Bravo is my head jiu-jitsu coach, but me and Jared probably spend more time on the mat together because we both teach at 10th Planet Burbank, and he's cornered me for 3 or 4 of my last fights. So he's been a big reason why I'm in.
He's a good guy. He was so proud of you, by the way. He kept telling the class to watch it.
Oh, he did?
He kept, Alan, and everyone was like, you're such a nice guy. Even the girls that came to my show, Christy McKeon and all them, all the girls were always like, oh, Alan. it's a shame, dude. You could be, it's good. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know you were married. I was going to thank you very much for taking time away from boning hot chicks to come to our podcast.
No, man.
I'm sure that's what you would be doing right now.
Now, did you see what Josh Koscheck said about you when he took out his teeth?
Man, that was crazy.
Koscheck took out his teeth and he said, welcome to the UFC. Just so you know, that pretty face is not going to be there around like that.
Hilarious.
And took out his 4 teeth.
Right. But I had to kind of give him props because it started with the whatever show it was. He was a guest co-host, and he was kind of talking trash on me. He didn't know who I was. Koscheck's kind of an, he's a loud guy.
What was
he
saying? What do you mean?
He was just saying, you know, like, I think he, you know, they were asking, who do you have in the fight? And obviously, every guy went against me. They didn't know who I was. All they knew that I was some model. That's, you know, the first thing people see on paper. And anyway, so he was just kind of talking trash. He was like, you know, I'm going to get smashed. I'm just a pretty face. I'm not ready for this. And then after my performance, I got to give him respect. You know, he went on national TV, looked straight into the camera and apologized to me, and then took his teeth out, you know, as a joke and everything. So it was cool, man.
That was the best thing he did, because the people were ripping on Koscheck before that. They were like, what did Koscheck look so nervous, and what is he stumbling? And look, it's hard. If you're not a broadcaster.
Those lights are bright as hell.
And all of a sudden you get thrown on fire. It's not like you could take a class where they like mock. I mean, you can go through run through and stuff, but you know, it's to be what Josh Koscheck, all of a sudden to be on Fox Sports 1, all of a sudden it could be very, you're with Brian Stan and these guys have been doing for a long time, you can get caught up, and everyone. But then when he took out his teeth and he's like, "Look at me," well, everyone's like, "Oh, I like that guy."
Yeah, yeah, right. It was a nice break.
So actually, you helped him out. Forget about him helping you out.
There we go.
So my week, I had shows every night of the week. I had Flappers, haha. This Mexican restaurant Saturday night, I actually had 2 shows. I caught your fight in between the shows. I was like, that's my friend, and everyone's looking like I'm a fucking idiot, like, yeah, okay, sure it is. By the way, I gotta say, in your fight, how hurt were you in that first round?
I didn't really when he kind of dropped me, it was kind of like a little flash knockout, but I gotta say, watching the fight back, I was very happy with how fast I recovered. I didn't really realize that it went down that fast, but I wasn't in my head in any danger of like, oh shit, what am I gonna do? It was more like, okay, I got
because
caught,
I was like, recover. Oh fuck, my boy's getting fucked up right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, in my mind, it was just you know, stall, get. I needed like 30 seconds to recover.
Shake the cobwebs.
Yeah, yeah, clear my head for a minute.
So I had this audition, right, for a TV show. for not Nick at Night. What's for TV Land? And I go in, and the part is I'm hitting on a girl who's like 16, but I don't know she's 16. And then her mom comes in, and her mom's like, "Hey, you have homework." And I go, "Homework? How old are you?" And then I like leave, right? So there's a bunch of guys. I like do it, and the casting person's like, "You know what? You're too young for this. I really believe that you would go out with a 16-year-old girl."
Oh my god!
I was like, I can't be more insulted. Like, basically, call me a freaking pedophile to my face, like, like I'm like, what? Can you just say no, thank you? Not right. Like, I really think that you'd hook up with this chick. So that was one thing. And then I had a show at Jay Davis show at the State Social House. And
you said Jay Davis?
Yeah. And basically, there was a girl heckling every comic. Every comic.
Are you serious?
Yeah. This one chick in the front was just being obnoxious. So I go up there, and she's a pretty girl. And I say something, and she's like, "You know, I googled unfunny, and your name came up or something." Like, she had it all like ready. And I was like, "Look, you're hot now, but in 10 years, you're going to be disgusting. People are going to care what you have to say for now, but eventually you're not going to be hot, and your personality is going to catch up. Your looks are going to catch up to your personality, and you're going to end up on, you know, The Real Housewives with your face pulled back and on Zoloft. So enjoy it now, because guys are going to pretend to think to find you funny." And the place erupted. It was like, right. I was like, all of a sudden, it was just... Yeah, I was the people's
champ.
Did
she shut up after that, or did she continue?
Yeah, she kept going, of course. And then I kept getting her and getting her and getting her.
I've got to think that most hecklers would be male, right? Or are they most of them are guys?
A lot of times you get these really pretty loud drunk girls that are used to being the center of attention,
right.
And when they're not,
they can't handle it.
and the problem is that all these guys are trying to have sex with them, so they're just like, oh, laughing and everything and putting up with it, and then gotcha. You know, when so they're not really it's a false sense of security, you know. It's like if you're training and everyone's taking dives, you're like, oh, I'm the fucking greatest fighter in the world, and you go up against a guy who's not gonna fall down for you.
Right.
So that's what I dealt with, and then Saturday night I can't
believe Jay Davis would let that happen. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So then Saturday night, Brian Stan texted me, and he's like, "Hey man, me and Dom and the Cruiser are hanging out. You want to hang out?" So I went to some club with Dom and Stan, which was
nice.
Was pretty badass. And then I was like, "Hey Dom, I apologize for making those 12,000 jokes about you." And he's like, "It's cool, man." He's like, "You're like, keep my name out there." So that was awesome. Those guys were super cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool hanging out with such bad. It's funny though, because like you look at Dom, the guy's like 5'7" or 5'8", kind of like this. Kind of a small guy, 140, you know, not a guy that balloons up.
Right.
And you would never know that he could take anybody in the club. You know, you got all these jabronis like walking past him, like bumping him, or just, and like this guy would murder everybody here probably at like once if he really wanted to, you know?
That's how it was with Korean Zombie when I was hanging out with Korean Zombie in Vegas. And he's just such a shy guy and so humble and like soft spoken. And just, he's basically a kid. And I was thinking that people probably see him in a club and think, like, I could beat this little Chinese.
Yeah, this guy's like my math tutor or
right,
something.
Right.
Yeah.
If not, he could murder everybody in the place if he wanted to.
Yeah, it's funny. I've noticed that aside from, like, when I hung out with Sean McCorkle, who somebody bumped into him one time at a club, and then he went up to him. Actually, it was somebody who was picking on one of his friends at a college bar, and he goes up to the guy and he goes, "I will beat the shit out of you and then fuck you in the ass." Like made the guy take a dump. But most of the fighters that I know are very humble, maybe because they know it's like being the comic, a good comic. Most good comics aren't always on. Very rarely are they on, because they know, like, we get paid to be on.
Right.
And I'm not going to waste it on some, you know.
Right.
Most fighters, like, I'm not going to break my hand on some idiot and then ruin my whole career. And then, you get the guys like the War Machines, and you get the other people that are the aberration from that. How was your weekend?
It was good, man. As you know, Steve Carl came to town. He stayed at my house for a couple of days, and we did that show in Burbank at Flappers on Thursday, which is, I'm still got to say, I'm going to punch... Rick Martinez in the face for bamboozling me into doing that freaking show for free.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
And then everybody afterwards was like, man, he has a birthday show like every other month.
He does. Every month this guy has a birthday show in order to get people to come to the show.
Bamboozled all these fantastic A-list comedians to do a show for free under the guise that it was his birthday.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And then afterwards, and so nobody got paid. And then afterwards he was like, yeah, man, you know, we only made like $2,000 off the door this week, but you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't even want to. Yeah, that was ridiculous. That Steve Carl, you know, have you trained with Steve Carl?
No, I haven't.
He's in Bella. He's in the World Series of Fighting. He's like basically like a homeless fighter. Like
homeless fighter.
He's like lives out of like a van, like a Scooby Doo van, and like travels. I'm like this guy. I'm like, hey, how's what's going? I'm just driving cross country and crashing at gyms and sleeping there. Like it was very cool. See, he's like a hippie fighter.
He is a hippie fighter, but he's cool as shit.
He is cool as shit.
But he has 5 houses.
He has 5 houses?
Yeah, he fixes them up and then rents them.
Oh,
and,
I didn't know that.
So, to for his income.
Oh, you would never know that.
Yeah, and so he, you know, he has homes.
He's doing his thing.
But then we went to that show on Friday night at in Thousand Oaks. It was Comedy Under the Stars, outdoors.
How was that?
It was awesome, man. And it was like a bunch of old white people there. So I was like kind of, when I first saw him, I was like, oh, God. You know, like the white hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, geez. And so when I got on stage, I was the only black dude on the show and I was last. So I was like, you know, give it up for all the white dudes that opened up for me. Yeah. This is as dark as it's getting tonight. Here we are in Thousand Oaks. And I was like, Thousand Oaks is probably named after all the trees that the black people have been hung from.
Oh, man.
And this lady stood up and the audience was like, our mayor used to be black. Oh, we used to have a mayor. We used to have a black mayor. And I was like, used to? What happened to him?
Nobody knows about that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was impersonating her and answering that question. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. And I was very happy with the shows this weekend. And then just partied on Sunday and... Nothing exciting, but
I had a date. I've been going out with that girl. This girl that I've been dating. So, well, I haven't. I dated her back when I was like 19, and then she dumped me because I had no money back then. And but and that's not why. Whatever. I was 19 years old. But we've been going back out, and you know, it's one of those things where it's taken a while to like. It's been like 4 dates. I'm like Ellenberg. I haven't got laid yet in 4 days. And like I kind of need validation, physical validation.
You finger banged her back in the day. Like the first day.
I never even got the finger banger back then. No, she's like a good girl. It's fucking with my
head
a little bit.
What is she doing messing with you?
I don't know, man. I think she. I have no idea. But a couple funny stories about this. Number one, I was like, she just moved into a place, and I'm like, oh, I'll come over, and she's like, well, I, you know. We have nowhere to sit because there's no furniture. So I was like, on my face. And
did you say that?
Yeah, of course. she looked at me like, ah, ha, ha, ha. I was like, no, I'm serious. No, so that was, but it was funny though, because I basically told her, I'm like, listen, you know, I don't want to play this cat and mouse game. I know it's only been 4 dates, but you know, eventually, you know, the guys, look, if I have needs and you know, it's just, you don't want to get into that area where it's just,
that's when you start telling her that you dig her specifically. I'm like, I dig you, but I have needs, and I don't want to go outside of you to get these needs filled.
Really? Is that what I should have said?
I don't know.
I kind of sort of said that. But she's like, Ben, it's like 4 dates. But I was like, well, you know, I didn't know how to... I'm like, I don't want to pressure you into hooking up with me. I don't want to pressure you into having sex. I don't want you to hook up with me because you feel obligated to. That's the last thing I want.
If that's why you do it, then be it. But
no, that's the truth. At the same time, I do have to feel like you like me, and one way is, you know, handy or something. So there is that, like, you know. And then she's like, I'm like, you know. We dated back when I was 20. I'm like, I know I was a lot more innocent back then. And she goes, are you kidding? You kept humping me back then too. This is the same thing that you did back then, which made me feel better. I was like, oh, really? I was an annoying, horny guy back then too? I thought I was this like innocent guy that was waiting. I was like, oh, well, I was a hornbag back then too. Then at least I'm like consistent. Right. Like, all we did was like pick up where...
you left off.
Yeah, that was kind of funny though. I don't know. I thought it was funny. I don't know if people will find that funny. Anyway, so a couple funny things. So next week we have Michelle Old coming back in. Remember Michelle Old? You know Michelle Old?
No.
She's this like biker fighter chick.
Super cool.
Super cool. Blonde hair, deep voice. So anyway, she on Twitter, she admitted that we talked, it was something about GSP's deep plate. A dark place was like trending at the time. So then she was like, what's up with that, you know, GSP's dark place? I feel like, you know, why didn't he just bleach his anus, right? That's what she said. So then someone said to her, like, do you bleach your anus? And she's like, yeah. So I like wrote recently, I'm like, guys, you know, follow Michelle Old. She's a sweet girl. She trains really hard. She's a good mother, and she bleaches her anus, right? So then all these people started following her on Twitter.
So that's hilarious.
And then I'm like, you know what? I don't want to, like, I like texted her, hey, you don't care about me saying that you bleached your anus, right? And she goes, quit being a pussy. like, that's my kind of girl. Right.
That's the one that I talked smack about when I first met her.
Yeah. You said she reminded you of Sam Kinison with a wig, which
she walked in, she's all buff.
Yeah, she's huge. So she'll be here next week. A couple things that happened. Jessie Jane and Jenna Jameson are going at it on Twitter.
Yeah.
We have to get to the bottom of that. No pun intended. I would pay to see that fight.
I'm going with Jessie Jane only because we know her.
Jenna Jameson's it doesn't look like she's in the greatest shape right now. Jessie looks healthier. She works out more. We have, by the way, on the show today, we have Anthony Berchek and the return of the monster.
Oh, Kevin no. Randleman. Is he going to be on the show?
Kevin Randleman is back on the show. Can't wait for that. Couple things in the MMA world I want to talk about. So it was hard for me, actually. So I did a MMA roasted video, which I do these videos, and I talked about War Machine, and he was still on the loose. I had all these jokes about that. Well, then I'm like, oh, man, part of me is like, I do want him to get caught. Obviously, I want the guy to, you know, justice to serve. You don't want a dangerous guy out there.
So you can continue doing jokes about
it. At the same time, I didn't want him to be caught before Tuesday because that's when my video came out. Like, and then I'd have to go and re-edit all the jokes. Kind of a dilemma here. So, he gets caught.
Dilemma?
Dilemma, yeah. I'm like pronouncing the N there. So, as dilemma. So, as I'm leaving, of course, he gets caught within 3 seconds. Now, he got caught. Everyone was like, where's War Machine? Is he in Canada? Is he in Mexico? He's too smart. He was a block from where he lives in Simi Valley. They caught him in a hotel eating a pizza. And the reason they caught him, allegedly,
he ordered the pizza to his room under the name War Machine.
Hey, this is War Machine.
Can I get a large sausage?
He said Warp Machine, just to throw him off. So, no, they caught him because there was a girl staying with him, and they were fighting outside the hotel. Everyone could hear him, and allegedly he pulled the girl's hair, and she's like, get off me, and he's like, shut up, and then someone called the cops. So now he's on World's Dumbest Criminals, as well as the other things he's on.
Wow.
Like, first of all, I mean... And then someone said, like, oh, well, his excuse was he was going to propose to that girl, too. That's what somebody said on Twitter, which
he can't get rid of that fucking ring to save his life.
Yeah. Now, have you ever trained with War Machine? I know he trained over Legends, right, back in the day?
Yeah, he might have came in there a couple times. I trained with him one time, but, you know, very briefly. I didn't interact with him that much.
Now, I mean, people that know him... said he's not, everyone that knows him says this guy's not a bad guy.
He seemed pretty shy from, you know, I mean, he was coming into a new gym and whatnot, but, you know, he definitely didn't have that War Machine crazy character when I first met him.
Now, the guy, I mean, first of all, I don't know exactly what happened. Unless you were there, obviously, it's like he's in court. You know, what I do know is the girl got the shit beaten out of her, so he needs to go to jail. He's not safe around people. If that's what's happening. That's what happened. Allegedly, he needs to go to jail. I also do know that, like, this whole it got out of control, where people like Dog the Bounty Hunter was really on Twitter every day saying, War Machine, you have 5 hours. War Machine, you have 3 hours. And then he goes, War Machine, me and you, man versus man, winner takes all. Like, that's not really bounty hunting. Just calling people out to having fights with you. I wrote a joke. Is he like, guy who killed Tupac and Biggie, meet me in my front yard, winner take all. Like, I mean, that's the laziest bounty hunting I've ever heard in my entire life. Meet me in the front yard? I mean, really?
Yeah.
It would have been hilarious if Dog would have caught him, but if
and
War Machine...
Dog would have got this shit beat
He would have got
him.
The shit beat out of him. I hate to say it. I'm kind of a fan of Dog, but yeah, you don't want to go one-on-one with a...
I was kind of hoping that, like, War Machine would, like, flying knee, knock out Dog, and then get caught. Like, that's the best of both worlds. Like, right. War Machine knocks out Dog the Bounty Hunter and then gets arrested.
And takes his paint pellet gun from him.
Everybody wins. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I think MMA already has a blonde hair guy with a mullet, and his name is Kim Winslow. But yeah, so I mean, Dog needs to go back to 1985. But then he's still on. After that whole thing happens, Dog was on CNN with his wife, and people were like, "What did you do to capture them?" And then the wife's like, "There were many people involved, and we raised awareness on social media." Then I'm a bounty hunter too. If all you have to do is
hold on, post did they have up, anything to do with him being caught?
No, they weren't even. They were right in San Diego. He got caught.
Dog was in San Diego.
Yeah, he was taking pictures of like War Machine's house.
Oh, so he was on the trail though. Okay.
I mean, he was at War Machine's house.
Okay.
In the front yard, taking pictures of his like snakes.
I didn't know if he was still just kicking back in Hawaii.
No,
all day. Yeah.
No, he used this as an opportunity to promote his show, right. CMT Dog and Beth, because I know it's a hashtag. And I'm not. I guarantee that the viewership went up because of that. I know it did. I'm sure people watched it because of that stupid. I mean, he. I guess he's a smart guy. But and then Chael Sonnen tweeted, yeah. "I caught you, War Machine." So he said he caught War Machine, which is the first victory in 3 years. If that's the case,
wow.
People had some really funny photoshops of like first
Dog the Brownie Hunter,
and then someone had like Dog had like Dana White with Dog and Bounty like facing off.
Dog and War Machine.
Dog and War Machine, and then somebody on the underground had a picture of War Machine being in handcuffs with two pizzas in his hand. So there were some really funny shit. Now, when we called Daniel Cormier last week, he sounded very disheveled. He sounded like he was bent out of shape. We now know the reason is because him and John Jones, that fight got canceled or got postponed till January, which I think is going to be on the Nick Diaz card, which I think will be the best card ever. Nick Diaz, Anderson Silva, Jones, and Cormier on Super Bowl weekend.
Wow.
Who's not going to watch that? I mean, that's going to be in Vegas? Are you kidding me? Now, some people think that John Jones is maybe playing head games with Cormier. Is he really injured? I know there was a video.
That's what I said.
There was a video that came out of him sparring with Mike Tyson. If a guy's really hurt, is he going to spar with Mike Tyson? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't really believe into that hype stuff. I think he got hurt. I saw some other interviews of other fighters coming out saying that Overeem is kind of a beast in training, and he's been injuring a lot of guys. So
Arlovski said that.
Right, so that exactly. So, I don't see why he would. They've got beef. They both wanted to fight. It's a huge payday for both fighters. I don't think there's any truth to that conspiracy that's going on. I mean, it's going to be a huge fight whenever it takes place. So.
Who's the best guy that you ever trained with?
I guess it would be the obvious. At Black House, Loyola Machida or Anderson Silva. So.
So now you sparred against Silva.
Silva just got back in the gym a couple weeks ago. I was nearing the end of my training camp, so I didn't get to do that much work with him. I'm really looking forward to getting back in there and getting some work in because he's in there all the time now, man. He almost is going back to his roots in a way. Before, you would never see him. He was always doing some kind of crazy training on the beach or some kind of next-level training. Now, man, he's in there taking class with the guys, sparring, doing the drills every day, going back to his roots. And
is Diaz in trouble?
What's that?
You think Diaz is in trouble?
It's a bad matchup for Diaz. I don't see any other way. He's a big – Anderson's a bigger guy, a great boxer. Diaz is a boxer. I think Anderson has him in every area. And then, Anderson, all he's been doing since his leg has been injured is working on his boxing. So it's kind of a perfect matchup for him.
You have, like, an urban feel to you when you talk. I think that you should be the Channing Tatum. You're like the real Channing Tatum. I'm telling you, Magic Joban. I think that's I think there's something there. Now, have you sparred with Machida?
Yeah, me and Machida have sparred quite a few times.
You kind of look like him a little bit.
Yeah. It's kind of. I think his style kind of rubs off on me and everybody at the gym. But he's one of those guys that you kind of get the feeling that at any moment he can kick your ass.
Really?
He throws so many feints and he's always doing all that kind of stuff. And you just feel like some days I have good sessions and I go home and I think, man, I kind of got the best of him. And then the next day he kicks you in the liver and you go down and you realize, shit, he was playing. He was toying with me the whole time. So. Yeah, but they're great guys. You only get better, training with guys at that caliber.
That's now is it? I mean, it's got to be really hard. And now is he as elusive in sparring as he is in his fights?
Absolutely. And when he fought Weidman, he looked so much smaller than Weidman. Weidman's a huge middleweight, But Machida's a big man, you know. He's a good size, muscular, in shape guy, especially for a man of his age. He's, you know, Machida's, what is he, 36, 37 now? And the guy is just shredded, you know what I mean? And he's got a big head. You can't really see it on TV, but the guy's got a big head. He could take a punch, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he's good, man. He's elusive. He beats everybody up in the gym, for sure.
Now, what does Dana White say to you after you win?
Did he say didn't anything? Say much, man. Dana just flew in from, I think it was Bora Bora, off of vacation. I mean, he was still suntan and lost his, he had no voice.
His voice was gone.
His voice was gone. I think he flew directly in the day of the fight, so I don't think he knew who I was at all, and I don't blame him. You know,
Wait, even after you won, he had no idea who you were?
Honestly, I don't think so, and, you know, there's like, I broke it down already. There's like 500 fighters or so plus in the UFC. My weight division alone, the welterweight division, is probably the most stacked division. It's probably 100 plus fighters. He just comes in from vacation. You know, he's already got 200 employees or so for the UFC, 500 fighters. He comes in from vacation, and I'm a new guy. He doesn't know who the hell
like, who's
I am.
This model guy back here?
Right. Why am I sitting at the press conference? Because when they announced I got to sit in on the press conference, but when they announced the bonuses, he was kind of going over the numbers and how much money the door made, and then he said the fight of the night bonus goes to the Baczynski fight. And then he went on and on. So I really wasn't confirmed that I got the bonus for like 10
minutes.
So
you think he thinks Baczynski won?
No, he just was referring
that's
to our...
That's kind of jacked up that you're going to name the guy who lost.
He was referring to our fight as the Baczynski fight because he probably didn't have time to like remember my name.
I'm sure he went back and looked at it and is like, who's this guy?
Right, I hope so.
You look at a guy like that, okay, a family guy, a model, an actor, a guy who took up fighting 7 years ago, you know, a guy who doesn't do drugs, doesn't party. He's the guy I want in the UFC. You know, I mean, girls are going to look at this kid and be like, oh my God, right. You know, they're going to get all wet and puddles. I'm telling you. So whoever's listening to this, I know a lot of guys, like there's a guy out there, but I hear all your fights are like wars. Like I hear you get hurt in every fight and then you come back in every fight.
It's a bad trend that I have going right now. It's weird because the beginning of my career, I guess it was, you know, as the levels change, but in the beginning of my career, I never got hit. You know, my amateur debut was a 14-second knockout. My pro debut was a 15-second knockout. And I didn't go past the first round for quite a while in my career. And as of the last couple of years, it's just I turned into this kind of dogfight kind of guy where I need to get hit. I need to get rocked. And I go into this like Rocky mode where I just want to like, you know, just trade and slug it out. And it's not the best thing for my career. It's
no,
pretty
definitely
dangerous.
Not. Be careful with that.
Especially in the long run at the higher level. But I'm definitely not trying to do it. But it's just something that I have inside of me. I kind of, you know, I get hit and I just I want to show heart and everything. And but it makes exciting fights. So I'm happy to do that, you know.
Absolutely. So speaking of exciting fights, we have a kid. He, you know, a man that we're gonna call Anthony Berchek, who is on a he's 11-1. He's got a crazy great wrestling credentials, and he's fighting on 2 weeks' notice at UFC 177. So we're gonna talk to him. He was in MFC 3 weeks ago. And he got canned because he couldn't get his like green card or something. Couldn't get into Canada. Something happened. And then the UFC signed him. So, and literally, I was there on Twitter when someone tweeted, Dana White, you have to sign this kid. Dana tweets back, I'm going to check him out. Next day, the kid signed. So
it happened like that.
Power of social media. So let's call Anthony right now.
Hello?
Anthony Berchek.
What's going on?
All right. So we have a guy making his UFC debut. He's 11-1. He's fighting at UFC 177. Anthony Berchek, how are you, man?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Good. You're here with T-Rex and Alan Juban.
What up?
What's up, man?
I don't know if you saw Alan's fight. He got fight of the night last week.
Yeah, man. He dropped my boy Seth.
nice job. Thanks a lot for dropping this boy set.
Good to meet
you. Hey, man, let me tell you something, though, dude. Active TV fighters really kill it when they step in the scene in the UFC, man. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, true, man, true.
Yeah, so I know, Anthony, now you were 3 weeks ago, you were in the MFC. What happened? You couldn't get into Canada, and then they dropped you, and then you're in the UFC?
No. See, and I love how leaving the MFC is always so messy, because you know, you saw Eddie Alvarez get released yesterday, and Coker was like, you know what, this is, you know, we're just looking for, you know, the most amicable way possible to end it, you know, and Eddie was gone, and now he signed in fighting Cerrone. And with me, it was my, you know, I got injured back in April. I didn't hear from Mark Pavlich from April to July 5th, which was 5 days before my contract was up. So on the day my contract was up, we sent him an email saying, you know, it's been nice, it's been fun, you know, and, you know, from here on out, we're going to start entertaining other offers. You know, you're absolutely under contract with MFC, you're stuck with an injury clause, and I'm like, no. So, you know, I had to get a lawyer, and lawyers started talking to lawyers and stuff like that. And not only once, twice did the MFC print something that was not completely accurate about the situation. The first was about my injury. They said I had a significant lower body injury. So, like, people were calling me, being like, hey, man, how's your knee? How's your knee? And I'm like, dude, I don't have a knee problem. Like, I don't know why they wrote that. Secondly, now they tell, you know, they're saying everything about, you know, oh, his passport, you know, his visa status. And I got Sean Shelby texting me like, hey, man, what the hell's up with your, you know, why can't you get into Canada? Why can't you get in? You know, and it was like, it was more of a headache than it would just have been, you know, the contract was up, that's it, that's that. You know what I'm saying?
All right, cool. Yeah, I was wondering. I'm like, what the hell did he do not to get into Canada? He seemed like a nice, upstanding citizen.
You know, and you know what? Like, the worst thing about Canada is, you know, Pavlich told me he got a guy in with, like, gun charges. But anybody with a DUI or, like, child support can't get in.
Yeah.
How dare they?
So you can get a guy in with gun charges, but he owes his mom, you know, $1,000 and he's not getting in.
That's crazy. Now, by the way, now I met Anthony on Twitter. He started following me. He was laughing at some jokes. I invited him to my comedy show. He comes with his wife, who's also a fighter, and she's a fighter and also your manager, correct?
Yes, sir.
And she has a whole management company. She seemed like this bad at. Now, she started off, I was reading about her last night. She was a ring girl who became a fighter who's now a manager.
Yeah, man, she's been in the industry forever. She started off as a ring girl when she was 19. You know, then she started doing a sponsorship attainment for a local company here called World Fighting Federation. You know, she would go out and get the sponsors for the cage and stuff. And that's actually how we met, because I was like trolling her on Facebook. I was like, who the F are you? Like, why do you have such cool tickets? And why do you think you're the... She's like, shut the hell up. You know, I do this, that, and the other. And we had a blossoming relationship from there on out.
She's really cute. And then, do you guys have crazy athlete sex? It seems like you guys would have crazy.
We got it, man. You know, we got four kids. I mean, we
yeah, join the club.
Wait, you have four kids?
Yeah, man. I got two of them are stepkids, and then I have two sons. So I got a 15-year-old, and I got an 11-year-old, and I got a 6-year-old, and then I got Jet, who is just turning 11 months.
Now, yeah, the one that I met was that little baby was the cutest baby I've ever seen in my entire life. I've actually gotten pussy from your picture of your baby, just so you know.
Yeah, see, he's a wingman. He doesn't even know it.
Yeah, your baby got the assist, by the way. So
awesome.
No, thank you. Now I was looking up some of your stats. Now, you were in high school, your record was 140 wins and 30 losses. You were a 3-time state medalist and state runner-up in 2003, a 2-time AAU All-American in Greco and freestyle. You were the Greco-Roman state championship 4 times in a row and the freestyle championship 3 consecutive times. You have some wrestling background, man.
Yeah, thank you. You know, and it just seemed like in high school, I could just never put it together. You know what I mean? I was
what?
Too busy, yeah, right. You know, distracted and doing shit. You know what I mean? Like,
wait, are you kidding?
Trying to introduce. No, I'm serious. Like, I was actually, both my uncles were the first and then the third state champion for my high school to kick off the wrestling program. And I was picked, me and my other little brother were picked it to win it 4 times. And, so when I came into high school, you know, it was all this hype about me winning it 4 times and this and that and the other. I didn't even win the high school state champion once. Like, I'm telling you, like, I remember I was dating this girl and seeing this other girl on the side. They both come to the state wrestling tournament. I introduced them to each other. And that's the kind of shit I put myself through, you know, when I had, like, a giant match coming up in about 15 minutes. So...
Wow.
I wasn't the brightest.
You're like
you're like
the high school Rampage. You were like a mini Rampage.
Yeah, man. It was it was just little distractions like that that kept me from actually putting a bunch of stuff together and but I think if I would have won it four times, I would have been complacent in life now, you know what I mean? I think not winning an Arizona High School State Championship really left a bad taste in my mouth, and that leads to the amount of drive and determination that I have currently.
Nice. Did your uncles dog you out for not winning one time?
Oh, absolutely, bro. And then my little brothers do win it. One wins it once, and the other one wins it two times. So
and you're
I'm
the
like
only
the
one
only
in the UFC
with a high school state championship.
Wait, is that why on Twitter I go, does anybody have any questions? People are like, ask him why he's not the best wrestler in his like family.
Yeah, that's my that's my douchebag little brother, and he's not even little. He's giant. He's like.
And
he's like Ryan Bader size, dude. He's huge.
Does your brother fight as well?
He wants to, but he's he just transferred. He was the middle linebacker at Eastern Washington University. I don't know. You know how Boise State has the blue field?
Mm-hmm.
Eastern
the Smurf
Washington
turf.
Has like a giant red AstroTurf field.
Wow.
So he just transferred back to Arizona from there to fix his grades and stuff and try to get a better position when he goes back. So. He was a phenomenal wrestler. He was a national champion wrestler. Actually, he won nationals multiple times. He was a state champion. And like his senior year, he was going into the state finals 47-0, and he had already signed his football scholarship. And he said he felt a tweak in his knee, and he just called the match right there. He was like, I like wrestling, but I really, really, really love football, and I'm not about to sacrifice that.
He probably also likes eating. And
yeah,
but that's you have some family now. You got a fight coming up. You took it on 2 weeks' notice in the UFC. Now, how did that feel? By the way, getting that phone call to be in the UFC.
Oh, dude, it's so surreal. You know, I've been waiting for that phone to ring and ring and ring, and it's like, you know, with every fight passing, it's like, all right, maybe it'll ring this time. You know, the next fight passes. All right, well, hopefully it'll ring this time. You know, and finally, it was just. The right timing, the right place, you know, the gym we got going, you know, Rise Combat is owned by Chris Carriasso, who's fighting Demetrius Johnson at UFC 178. You know, everybody's got fights in the gym right now. We got, you know, a guy fighting this weekend, Saturday, here in Tucson. We got two guys fighting in Vermont next weekend, the day before me. Then I fight, and then Chris fights. So there's so much synergy going on in the gym right now that when I got the phone call, I just absolutely, absolutely said yes. I was like, everyone's getting ready for fights. I'm getting ready for a fight. Let's do this.
Oh, by the way, is Chris mad at me for the jokes I made about him?
No, I don't even think, he doesn't, I don't think he, I don't even think he knows who you are.
Oh, no, because he follows me on Twitter, and then I said he's got an amazing vertical leap. He was able to jump past eight guys who are ranked ahead of him. And and then I asked him to be on the show, and he didn't respond. I was like, oh, man, I tell him I would love to get him on the show, because I mean, he's...
Oh, for sure, man. He's such a cool guy, dude. You know, I'm sure that shit doesn't bother him. You know, the sport goes is, you know, we bust each other's balls every day in the gym. I'm sure a little Twitter ball busting isn't, you know, isn't rubbing him the wrong way.
I hope he wins. I think now the guy that you're fighting, Joe Soto, he was the first ever Bellator champion. He's only lost two fights, and the fights that he lost to were Eddie Yagan and to Joe Warren. So he's only lost to good guys. What do you know about Joe Soto? How are you preparing for this guy?
You know, I've watched the Joe Warren fight. I've watched the Eddie Yagan fight. You know, and Joe Soto is just one of the most durable, straightforward wrestlers and tough grapplers that I've ever seen in the sport. You know, and he reminds me of like a little Tito Ortiz. Like he loves to get in the guard and just pound you out. You know what I'm saying? So, I've been preparing. You know, just staying basic, man. You know, he's a good, solid wrestler. It's not anything that I haven't seen in the last 20 years of wrestling. You know, I don't expect him to come out and, you know, throw any wild spinning back shit or, you know, anything crazy out of the norm. But, you know, who knows? It's, you know, the sport, like they say, any given Saturday, right? So I've just been staying basic, staying technical, and really just working on my gas tank, man.
Now, is there a lot of pressure? I know that also for Alan. I know there's a lot of pressure for you guys because it's not like you guys had, you know, 2 years and you're already in and you're like, you know, whatever. You guys are young guys. You know, you have four kids.
you know, Alan's been doing this for, you know, you're 30 years old, right? I mean, you're 32. Is there a lot of pressure sometimes to go, okay, I have to look really good in this fight. It's my first fight, where you kind of feel like in some ways you could overdo it and think too much and put too much pressure on yourself?
Absolutely, man. You know, the quote that I read yesterday was, if there is no enemy within, the enemy outside cannot harm you. And I take that as you are your own biggest, you know, opponent. Your worst enemy is yourself. So if you're comfortable with yourself and you're not overthinking this sport, we just had this conversation this morning at training. It's just fucking fighting. Don't overthink it. You know what I mean? It's you step in the cage, you do have a game plan, you know, but at the end of the day, it's just fighting. You know, so that's something that I talked to, you know, with my cornerman last night. He goes, you're trying to be so perfect and you're trying to do this, do that. And he goes, you don't have to be perfect right now. You just have to whoop Joe Soto's ass.
Like, well, a lot easier said than done.
Okay. All right. I got you. So, you know, there's absolutely times where you get in your own head and you almost are overproductive. You can overtrain. You can overthink the sport. And that's when you make mistakes, right?
That's true.
Did you sign a multi-fight contract, or is it like...
Yes, sir. They picked me up for a 4-fight deal.
Nice.
Now your wife being your manager, like, so when you bust on her, does she take 15%?
Yeah, basically.
Damn.
Wow. She takes it all, man.
She takes it all. Wow.
That's awesome. By the way, I like your wife a lot. She's awesome. She seems like a really, really cool
chick.
Hey,
you know what? I was so scared because the night we walked in to watch your show, she had this super... And I was like, leaving the hotel room, I was like, God damn it. I look at her. She's got this dress on. You know, 7/8 of her tits are out. And I'm just like,
7/8.
We're going to sit in a comedy show. And I'm sure Adam's just going to rip into why my girl's tits are hanging out.
7/8. That's hilarious.
She did have nice tits. I'm not going to lie. Your wife had.
My God.
Hey, you and Matt Hughes agree, man, because I guess she went to get a drink at the bar. And, like, Matt turned to the right, and they're both, probably each of them are about the size of his head and about the same height. So he, like, turned and was like, holy shit. And, like, she goes, I didn't know what to do. I caught Matt Hughes off guard, so I just got my drinks and scampered off.
Oh, my God.
Like, but that... She's like, that's all the validation I need right there. Matt Hughes is like her biggest crush. So he stared at my tits and I ran off.
Matt Hughes looked at her tits and found Jesus again. That's awesome. Now, hey man, listen, I'm definitely rooting for you, and I'm a big fan. I'm proud of you, man. It just shows that you keep doing it. You keep going. Eventually, it's just gonna happen for you. Alan, you just had your first fight. He's got his first fight in 2 weeks. What advice would you give this kid?
Well, I mean, he already said that he's training with a bunch of guys. He got a great team, guys with experience already putting good knowledge in his head. But yeah, I mean, just coming off of my debut, one thing that I really enjoyed about the UFC, I don't know if I have any tips for you, but you know, we're used to fighting on the smaller shows that were preparing us, but on Access TV, where you're kind of sitting in the back, you hear the bass, you hear the crowd, but you don't know what's going on. And it almost brings more tension, you know, makes you more nervous. But the one thing that I really enjoyed about the UFC is you're sitting in the room with a big flat screen TV in front of you, watching everything as it's transpiring, as it's going on. And you know, that made me kind of feel like I was sitting at a bar with my friends watching the fight, and it really took the edge off. And by the time it was go time, I was pumped up, man. So I think you're gonna enjoy that. I think you're gonna really like,
cool, man.
Yeah, you're gonna like being able to watch your fights live as they happen. Have Joe Silva come in the back room.
Well, he's actually the first fight though.
He's the first fight.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
either
I'm
way,
you'll fight on Fox Sports 1. So
okay, well you'll get
to be seeing lights dancing around the.
Right, you'll get to see the broadcast leading up to it, I guess. But yeah, it was cool, man. I really enjoyed it having Joe and Dana come in the room and telling us, guys, go get that money. Don't go out there and leave it to the judges. It really pumped me up, man. And I know we both come from an Access TV background, like you were saying, and it helped, man. It helped with my transition. So best of luck to you, man. I'll be rooting for you as well.
Cool, brother. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the advice, dude.
My pleasure.
And Adam, thank you so much, man, because you know. You said, hey, I'm gonna start, you know, my little Twitter campaign for you, because people tend to listen to me, and I was like, yeah, get the fuck out of here, like, but dude, you did it, man. You were like, legitimately got my name out there. I think that you know, tweet that you put out there got, you know, a bunch of favorites, bunch of retweets, And shortly after was when Sean Shelby called me. So I got to thank you for your support, man, and the
exposure that,
that you gave me and my family.
Oh, dude, my pleasure, man. My He's pleasure.
Make right dreams come true. You're like the Make-A-Wish Foundation for fighters.
Dude, I just humbled him.
Heck yeah.
Well, my pleasure, man. I can't wait to watch you. After you win, I want you to thank MMA Roasted. That's all you have to do. No, I'm kidding. No, but now, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at @AberchekMMA, Instagram the same thing at @AberchekMMA, and my Facebook fan page is only like 10 or 20 away from 1,500 fans. So if you guys go facebook.com/AnthonyBerchak.
How do you spell on Berchak?
B-I-R-C-H-A-K.
Okay.
Cool. Well, good luck, man. We're all going to be rooting for you, and give your best to my wife and her huge breath.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Later, man.
Good luck, man. Good luck.
All right. So we're waiting for Kevin Ramlin to pick up. In the meantime, we're going to keep going on with the podcast. Hopefully, Kevin will be on next week. I spoke to Daniel Cormier. He'll be on next week with us. So if not, we'll have Cormier and Lombard on next week. We'll be an epic podcast. In the meantime, we got Alan Jaban and Anthony Berchak. So we got the up-and-comers, the future of the UFC, which is kind of cool. A couple things we could talk about. Hector Lombard yesterday changed his name to Showweather. One word.
Showweather.
Showweather.
Oh, it's like Showtime and Mayweather?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess because he says he'll show up in any weather. But I think all the fights are indoors, right?
Yeah, so, show up in any weather. But that's how he talks, too. He doesn't conjugate anything. He's yeah. Show weather.
I don't think everyone was too scared to tell him that's not a real word. I'm not telling him that.
I don't get a show weather.
But I think it's like a name of a clothing brand, too, show weather. But I think that he has to say show weather. What's your nickname, by the way?
Brahma.
Brahma.
Yeah, like Brahma like Bull. Brahma Bull.
I thought they said drama.
Drama. No, not drama.
Yeah.
Brahma.
That's good. Yeah. I don't know. There's some good nicknames, and there's some like strange nicknames. Like, I like the. There's a guy in England named the Cheesecake Assassin. I think that's probably my favorite one. But
the Cheesecake Assassin.
The Cheesecake Assassin.
Truthful.
I like that. You know.
Was that Ramsay Moore?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Please. Yeah. Think a name that no one's gonna know.
Any obscure reference.
So, what do you think about the Ice Bucket Challenge? By the way.
I heard that the guy that started that whole thing died.
By getting the challenge?
I don't know if he's by the challenge.
Oh, no, that's not happening.
It's a rumor.
According
like a
to Evan, that didn't happen.
Beardo said that's not happening.
No, it didn't happen. It was one of his close friends who also kind of like helped get it like hyped up and get the challenge right. Rolling just in general.
Did he die from the ice bucket challenge? So hypothermia?
No, he drowned.
He drowned?
Yeah.
Doing the ice bucket challenge?
He actually did drown, not doing the ice bucket challenge.
Wow.
But...
I mean, like a diving accident, no, right?
The guy who started, Pete Freites, is still alive and
there's
still
a funny
has
like there's a funny meme going around where the guy, the little kid, there's a little black kid that has a really priceless face. And he's like, man, you're trying to tell me, as a challenge, he goes, you he's like, you're wasting perfectly clean water.
Right.
To not give money to charity,
to charity. Yeah.
Like, and that's a help. And this part of me kind of feels that way. Is that it's not even like I understand like people saying, well, it's raising awareness. Awareness, okay, but you can't pay your rent in awareness,
right?
And if I'm
aware that I owe this money.
if I'm in the hospital and the bill comes, like I go, hey, I'm aware of the money, you know. But at the same time, they're saying that it's raised like $13 million, where it's normally $1.6 million. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
It's definitely working.
But there are a lot of douches online doing it. Like, I challenge you, and you're like they're kind of ruining the whole thing.
A friend of mine did it back in Maryland, and his was terrible. And like, he just got lambasted. Like, everybody was like, "I'd rather have ALS than watch you do that again." But he's in his wife beater, and he's standing in his tub. And for me, if you're gonna do that, you have to be like fully clothed in your regular clothes. Don't go to a swimming suit, you know. And he's in his tub, and he takes like literally a pot of water, and like puts like 10 ice cubes in it, and dumps a pot on his head. And he was like, oh, that sucks so bad. All right, I challenge so-and-so. And I was like, nigga, you threw a margarita on your head.
Well, last night I put on Twitter like the MMA people that were doing the ice bucket challenge, and people had some really, really funny ones. I'll like read some. I said that Tito Ortiz did it and got the bucket stuck on his head. And then I said Dominic Cruz did it and injured himself while doing it. John Dodson did it with a Dixie cup. Dana White did it and then cut Jake Shields. Then someone wrote Roy Nelson drank the ice. And then Bobby Green talked to the Ice Bucket for 15 minutes. Dana White said that Askren can only do it in Singapore. Somebody wrote, Vitor Belfort failed the Ice Bucket Challenge. That could be my favorite one. Uriah Faber gave the thumbs up and Herb Dean stopped the challenge. I like that one. Someone said John Jones did it and then deleted it. I actually wrote, Pat Cummings did it and used the ice to fill up the coffee machine.
That's funny.
The ice frappuccino. Frappuccino. Yeah. Someone said John Dawson did it and drowned. Chet Congo did it and used a condom to have sex with Kim Kardashian. The ice bucket, like he put the ice bucket over his cock. That was mine. I thought that was clever. Somebody said Tim Means did it and knocked out himself because he slipped in a sauna. Tim Means did that. Nate Diaz did it, didn't donate, and demanded more money. Someone says Nick Diaz didn't show up. Rashad Evans refused to take it because him and the bucket were teammates. Someone said Roy Nelson did the KFC bucket challenge.
That'd be a good one for Daniel Cormier too.
Somebody, a Popeyes challenge.
A Popeyes challenge.
Overeem injured the ice bucket. Steve Mazzagatti took a point away because it hit him in the back of the head. That's a pretty clever. Frankie Edgar lost split decision to the ice bucket. Someone said Gray Maynard passed out once water dropped his head. Dropped on his head. And then someone wrote Vanderlei Silva ran away from the challenge. So very creative ones. Some of them really made me laugh. Someone said BJ Penn did it, failed, and then blamed it on Mike Dolce. So those were some things that I was actually laughing throughout the night. So thank you people on Twitter for keeping me laughing, which I mean I honestly that happens. Speaking of Gray Maynard though, there's a guy who I think should stop fighting. Gray Maynard at one point was, you know, one of the top three guys in the weight class, top two. He's a beast.
He just got embarrassed the other night.
But and it's the third time in a row he's got knocked out. First by TJ Grant. He got stopped by Nate Diaz. Russ Pearson now stopped him. At what point, Alan, like, you're a fighter. Do you see these guys at the gym that don't have it anymore? Like, is it their trainer's responsibility?
Yeah, it's the people around you. Hopefully you have good people around you. And all in all, at the end of the day, I think he knows, you know, I mean, he'll make that decision. I don't know where he stands with it right now. You don't want to see guys starting to get hurt and get knocked out and stuff. What's his name? Andrei Arlovski, a couple years ago, he was getting knocked out like crazy. Then he kind of made a comeback, and he kind of proved some people wrong. But, yeah, you know, I was there that night, obviously, fighting. And
did you see Gray backstage? Afterwards,
I don't remember talking to him after he's we spoke briefly before, you know, kind of wish each other luck, and he seemed very pumped up and very eager for the challenge, but yeah, unfortunately it didn't go his way. So hopefully he's got good people around him helping him make that decision, you know, because sometimes fighters, you know, they don't know when to throw in the towel. So, you know, hopefully he has somebody at home and good coaches that help him make that decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, and those are the guys that are too tough for their own good. And I also think there's a responsibility amongst other leagues, like World Series of Fighting, Bellator, RFA, you know, MFC, to not sign these guys. Granted, a guy like Gray Maynard's going to bring people into it. He's going to bring money into your organization. He's a name. And a victory over Gray Maynard is going to mean a lot to some people. But at what cost? And yeah, people, well, business is business, and if he doesn't sign with me, he's going to sign with someone else. Bullshit. Eventually, you have to say, all right, you know what, guys, there needs to be some kind of union amongst owners, which will never happen, but or some kind of agreement where, like, look, when a guy loses three fights, we can't sign him. If he wants to go to an Indian casino and keep fighting, or a Native American casino, that's on him. But, you know,
or
enough is enough.
Brain scans on these guys to see if there's, like, any, like, irreversible damage that they've sustained over the years, and it's getting worse, then just be like, dude, you need to stop now.
Yeah.
And we're not gonna license you or sanction this.
Did you see the Ryan Bader fight against OSP, where OSP is corner?
That shit was boring.
It was boring, but did you see the backhand? OSP.
Well, yeah, and he was like, oh.
No, OSP's corner. Bang. One guy was talking to OSP. The other corner guy started talking, and the corner guy hit the other corner guy. Like, shut up, and backhand, like, bitch slapped him.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I heard about that. I didn't see it yet either.
It was unbelievable. He landed more strikes than OSP during the fight. It was crazy. I never seen a corner guy punch another corner guy. I mean, at that point, I think you should fire your corner also. If you're OSP and your corners are hitting each other.
Slapping each other like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, it's time to say, you know what, maybe this is maybe not my... But, you know, a guy like... Look, people got upset about, they're like, boring, you know, blah, blah, blah. That, to me, Ryan Bader fought the perfect fight, because when he stands there and trades, he gets knocked out. He got knocked out by Machida. He got knocked out by Glover.
Tito.
He got stopped by Tito. He got dropped by Tito. He's not a guy who can take a punch. He can take a punch, but not as well as other guys. So him.
Yeah, but OSP couldn't put two punches together to save his life. This dude was like just one and done for.
Well, that's what happens when you have a guy with no wrestling experience versus a guy who's an All-American wrestler. And a guy who, I mean, you can make up for it with the right training, but you have to bring in All-American wrestlers who are going to do it, who are just going to try to take you down all the time, because he wasn't able to stop Ryan Bader's takedowns. So
how many did he get? Like 10 or 11?
He got a lot.
Yeah, it was crazy because I think going into that fight, he had never been taken down or only
OSP,
been,
yeah.
And then he got
100% takedown defense, and then I think that was
Ryan Bader's highest percentage of takedowns.
I'm happy that Bader's, that's a good strategy for him, and I think he should keep doing that until someone can stop his takedowns, because you know, he's not Ryan Bader Ali. He's not a boxer. And to me, it's like, go with what got you there. Some of these wrestlers, you know, they say that wrestlers have really, when they learn to fall in love with their striking, because they could punch really hard. They have really good punching power, comes from the hips, and they have really good striking. But a lot of these guys, then they abandon all wrestling. You see it all the time. And it's a quick way to lose. Sarah McMahon, on the other hand, and her fight against Lauren Murphy, you know, it just shows you how good Ronda Rousey is. Because Sarah McMahon, that was a pretty boring fight. I like Sarah McMahon. I think she's an amazing person. The fight was a lot closer than she should have. But all she used was her wrestling. She didn't use her striking at all. And some you could argue that Lauren won. You know, I was happy Sarah won. It was a pretty close fight. Sarah blames that the canvas was sandy. You were on the canvas. Was it sandy?
Yeah, I read something about fighters being unhappy with the canvas. That was my first UFC fight, so I don't have any references, but I thought it was, I mean,
was it like the beach out there? I don't understand what's going on with sandy.
I thought it was fine, man. I thought it felt good.
Tim Boach won. That was crazy.
I thought he was done for.
We all thought that, you know, but it just shows you, like, also that home field advantage. Yeah. Tim Boach is fighting in Maine,
right?
He's from Maine. You know, when you have the whole state behind you, and that's where you're from, you're going to get up for that fight.
Co-main event. Yeah, everything.
So this week, we'll talk about the fights coming up this week, since Kevin Randleman is not getting back to me. This week, Michael Bisping is taking on Kung Lee. I don't know if you've seen a picture.
Dude, have you seen what Kung Lee looks like?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. There's no... never
mind. Stocky, okay. Big...
No,
he's ripped.
Here, we'll show you a picture.
Up. Yeah, he's shredded.
Yeah, and it's...
I saw him at Russell Peters' house. He just showed up at Russell Peters' house. He looked like Kim Jong-il. And now he showed up.
No, I tweeted you that. I tweeted you that picture. That was the picture I sent you, right?
Right.
See if you could show Alan. Yeah, there's a picture of Kung Lee now that, you know... To anybody saying
that's
that
a recent picture.
This is a recent picture.
Wow.
I don't know if you've seen this picture. Man. But look, it seems that all of Bisping's opponents have tested positive for some kind of banned substance. Everyone that he has lost to, not all of his opponents. If you look at Chael, let's assume Chael was on stuff. I think he was on TRT back then. Belfort has failed his drug test. Who else did he? Chael, Belfort. What's some other guys that beat Bisping? Vanderlei, who ran away from his drug test, but at the time we don't know if he was on something. Well, it looks like Kung Lee has. I can't accuse anybody of anything. Okay, I'm not here to make assumptions. But if you look at the before and after of Kung Lee, this is ridiculous. He's 42 years old. He looks like he should be in that Pumping Iron documentary.
He's huge.
Man,
he's
striated. Let's hope not. God, if he gets popped, that would just, it's not a good time right now.
He might pop, like literally just pop. Like you could go. Like,
popped out of his skin.
I mean, and so, like somebody said, the guys aren't even trying to hide it anymore. And if you look at, there's a before and after that I posted on my Instagram page.
That's all the sport Adam needs comedian. Is like one more main event or, you know, like main card. Fight to be canceled because someone gets busted for steroids or some kind of PED.
I mean, you're a pretty ripped guy, but you're not like
you
this.
You can tell that he's natural, though.
I mean, If you look at the before and after.
Yeah, I mean, oh, I mean, God. I'm a fan of Kung Lee, but looking at this picture, and not only is he ripped, but I mean, he looked like he put on 15 pounds of muscle.
Jesus, look at his chest.
I mean, is there any way that you can get that naturally at 41? I mean, you being an athlete and.
Man, I hope so. I hope I can continue to.
Wow. Have you seen that picture?
I mean, wow. You saw the before and after?
Yeah, I saw it.
Because we're not here to make. Look, we can't accuse people of anything, and that's not my job. It just seems like if I was Bisbing, I'd be like, you got to be kidding me.
Hey, man, you can do some wild, wild stuff with a good photo editor and a decent background in Photoshop.
So you think that that's not really him?
Oh, it's definitely him. I'm just saying, you can make a guy look a lot better just by doing some retouching.
You think they retouched that?
Retouching?
If that was part of like a shoot he was doing, that was 100% got retouched. I'm not saying
the 9,000 veins and the chest that comes out of nowhere. He looks
trust
like
me,
the
you can
Hulk.
You can make certain aspects of a person pop really easy with a decent photo editing background.
The only thing he's gonna be popped off is roids. I mean, this is like this is ridiculous. Anyway,
I was playing devil's advocate over here.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're his like dealer, but so who do you like in this fight?
Well, after seeing that picture. Dan, that's a good question, man.
I think
I'm gonna go with Kung Lee on this one, only because he's so unorthodox and he throws those crazy ass wheel kicks, and that picture. I mean, if he's gonna come in looking like that damn picture,
yeah,
Bisping might shit his pants.
Bisping actually,
I'm fighting that guy.
Bisping actually tweeted the other day, Kung Lee shaves his legs, and posted a picture of him shaving his leg, of him having shaved legs.
Really?
So then I wrote, well, Bisping, you shave your vag, but he didn't actually get back to me on that one.
Oh my God.
So who do you like in this fight?
I don't know, man. Kung Lee's kind of been out for a while doing the movies. Bisping's been out for a while with an injured eye, so it's kind of like neither of them really have a momentum thing going, so it's kind of up in the air. But I think, I mean, looking at that picture and knowing the striking of Kung Lee, right. Bisping's got to be thinking, play a smart fight, just get the W, we'll do something spectacular later. So, I mean, if Bisping plays the good footwork boxing game that he's known for and gets the takedowns, which he does have very good wrestling, he could get on top of Kung Lee and maybe grind out a victory.
I'm picking Bisping in this fight. I just think Kung Lee took 2 years off, and I think those steroids are going to wear off after one round.
I want Bisping to wear.
I do. I don't think that that's good for cardio, but, you know, it would suck.
It's definitely not.
It seems like the guys that Bisping loses to are, like, wrestlers or just genetic freaks, which I guess Kung Lee has now joined that like, you know. But I don't see Kung Lee wrestling him. Right. And it also seems like Kung Lee sometimes – in bigger fights seems to not step up to the challenge. You know, he lost to Vanderlei, and I don't know. I just I'm picking Bisping in that one.
Kung Lee is southpaw, correct? Or no?
Yeah, well, he's got some strange stance.
Yeah, you think he switches?
I remember
it up.
Kung Lee back in the day. I used to watch him on Strikeforce back when it was like on NBC at like midnight, and he would do some kind of
scissor,
some kind of. But it was like some strange fighting where only he knew the rules.
Right,
it
was Sancho. Like,
Sancho.
Yeah,
and these guys would step in, and they obviously had no idea what they
beat
were doing.
The shit out of them.
Yeah, he would just throw them around, but it was sort of not fair because these guys were just getting some kind of weird position for Kung Lee to throw you. I was
No, you're right, because I think most of the guys that he fought were like traditional kickboxers, and they didn't really know that in Sancho you could take guys down, and he would just
it was unbelievable, but it was at the same time I'm like, well, why don't they just fight regularly or with regular rules as opposed to like the rules that he just made up? Or, I mean I'm trying to make him up, but it looked that way. All of a sudden the guy's starting with like some kind of like downward dog position, and Kung Lee just throws him. I'm like, that's how you start it? This makes no fucking sense. But yeah, Kung Lee, I wish that Kung Lee in his prime would have been in the UFC, because it seemed like
absolutely.
Although at the same, maybe he's hitting puberty now based on that picture. Now Tyron Woodley versus Dong Kim. This is going to be it's going to be a good fight. I'm hoping that Tyron Woodley wins. I like Tyron a lot. He's a friend of mine. He's a great dude. If I look at Dong Kim's last couple fights, you know, his last fight he looked really good against Hathaway, who I've never really been that sold on. But the fight before that, he was getting killed by Eric Silva and just landed that crazy punch. He beat Cyr Batazara. Cyr didn't seem to show up for that fight. Woodley, you know, coming off a tough loss against Rory McDonald where he just got dominated. Before that, he beat Koscheck and knocked him out. I think Woodley catches him. The only thing about Woodley that I noticed is that he's a very small head in person. He has a very his head is not very big. That's the one thing I would say going against him in this fight. He has a very tiny head. But I like Woodley. I like his wife. His wife is awesome. They came to the show, and I said that he came all over her breasts, and it was like putting milk on her Cocoa Puffs. And then the next day, they tweeted me going, he put milk on my Cocoa Puffs. That's our new nickname. A beautiful family, and he's a great guy, and he's such a good guy. So I'm picking Tyron in this fight. Who are you picking?
I'm going with Woodley as well for all the same reasons. You know, not as he just a good friend of mine, but also he's got a work ethic that I think is second to none, and he's hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of agree on that. I think Woodley's going to want to get back in the limelight, and I think he just might be able to overpower Kim. So
we'll Kim's going to have the home field advantage. It's in China, and Kim is he's
Korean.
He's Korean, but they're still going to root for him, no?
Because their eyes look the same.
No, I'm not saying that. But don't you think the Korean guy is going to root for the Chinese guy going to root for the Korean guy? I mean, it's
over
it's,
the black guy. Yeah.
Over the black. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Not because their eyes look the same. I don't think they look the same actually. But still, I don't. Come on. Because their eyes. Really? That's your.
Well, I mean. I know a redneck who thinks that all Asians are Chinese. They just live in different places.
I don't think that. But listen, but don't you think they're going to root for him?
Of course.
Yeah, so that's...
Yeah, that's why he's on the card.
Yeah, come on, let's just call a spade a spade. But I don't think...
Hey, wait a minute. What are you trying to say? You calling Tyron Woodley a spade now?
Yeah, jive turkey. Look, I mean, how far are we going back with this? Come on, give me a break.
Jive turkey.
Jive turkey.
All right, so Henderson also on the same day. That's going to air at 3 o'clock in the morning. That fight, or 6 o'clock in the morning on Fight Pass. That UFC live from Macau. But then the next day, on Saturday, from Tulsa, Oklahoma, it's Ben Henderson versus Rafael Dos Anjos.
Good fight right there, man.
Great fight. You know, Dos Anjos is coming off a win against Donald Cerrone, actually against Jason High. He beat Cerrone. He beat Dunham. He lost to Khabib. That's his one loss in the last four fights.
Not a bad guy to lose to, though.
Bendo coming off a win against Rustam. He beat Thompson. He lost to Anthony Pettis. And both these guys lost to the top guys. Who do you think wins this fight?
Going with Ben. No specific reason other than I like the guy and I think he's a beast.
Wow, you are quite the analyst.
I'm a pundit, man. That's what I do.
Pundit. And you, Alan?
This is a tough one. This is an exciting fight, though, man. This is like, to me, kind of like a fighter's fight. I'm a fan of both guys. They both bring it. They're both beasts. Dos Anjos, he's been doing a lot of training here in SoCal lately. He's kind of been at King's MMA working with Rafael.
Have you trained with him?
And he's been coming to Black House a little bit, and I haven't got the chance to train with him sparring-wise, but he's come now and then, and I've trained alongside of him, and he's a beast, man. He brings it. So I'm excited for this fight. If I had to put my money on it, it's hard to bet against Henderson. I mean, it seems like he's only got that one person who has his number out there, and that guy has the belt around his waist.
Yeah.
So it's hard to go against Henderson.
Although I honestly think Khabib beats everyone in that division, including Pettis. I hate to say it. I know people are going to hate me for this, but Khabib has just looked unbeatable.
Khabib is an animal.
I mean... Yeah. Literally, the guy fights bears. Right. I mean, he's just one of these guys. He makes guys like Dos Anjos look ordinary.
Yeah,
how good this guy is. I think no one wants to, except for, you know, Cerrone, no one wants to fight him. By the way, for that fight, I am also picking Henderson. I think, I don't know why. It's a tough fight to call. I just feel like Ben Henderson's going to win.
He brings it. He brings it every
He's going to win a close decision. He's got this weird thing with Jesus where...
can you say that?
No.
He's got this weird
thing with Jesus, but he's got this like belief, and he really believes. You just see some of these guys that go, you know, I'm all for Jesus, and they're out banging hookers and doing that and doing... But he really... This guy practices what he preaches. And... He's one of these guys that is just extremely kind, but it's hard to explain.
He has a superpower as well, and that is that he doesn't get tired, and that's an amazing superpower to have, man. He goes the same speed the first round as the fifth round, and he wears guys out, man. He just keeps coming and coming.
Yeah. I would say weird thing with Jesus. I'm just saying that he's definitely a guy
that's this weird thing where he believes in this dude.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, you know how sometimes if you see these guys that they're legit. They're legit, right. and they just live by a certain code, and I totally respect it because I don't. Because I'm like Jewish. But even so. So, Mike Pyle versus Jordan Mayne. I'm looking forward to this fight. You know, it's Mike Pyle is a guy that everyone says is in the gym, the biggest beast ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like Mike Pyle. He's a funny guy. He came to my show about 2 months ago in Vegas, and he's like, yeah, man. He's like, I can't drink for the next 2 months. He's a disciplined guy. He's got, you know, beautiful wife, great kid, nice guy, cool as shit. I don't know Jordan Mayne. I have a funny story. We're going to have this guy on the podcast about Mike Pyle. I think I could tell this story. I'll tell the story. The guy that's John Wood, who is now dating Jenna Jameson, they're going to be on a new show, who's a trainer over at Syndicate. Nice guy. Comes to my show. Cool as shit. Just a really cool guy. So he was dating Amber Nicole, who was a ring girl, and they were getting divorced. They were married. They got divorced. And Amber put...
this story is funny.
Amber put all his stuff on Facebook, like, I'm having a fire sale. I'm selling like couches and chairs and all this stuff. So Mike Pyle calls John Wood. He's like, dude, your ex-wife is selling all your shit on Facebook for like $10 and $20. And then he goes, whoa, what do you mean? Because he's not allowed back in the house because they had some kind of thing or they couldn't go back in. Mm-hmm. And Mike Pyle goes, don't worry. I bought half of it. He goes, well, you're going to give it to me? He goes, no, it's like mine. I actually bought it. So he said every time he goes to Pyle, it's like his best friend. Every time he goes to Pyle's house, he has to see his couch. And it's like, he has to see his like cabinet and his bed. Pyle bought all his stuff and kept it.
An estate sale, yeah.
Yeah, how funny is that?
That's hilarious.
What a dick, but what a hilarious story. So, I like Mike Pyle a lot. And it's going to be a good fight, though. Who do you like, Pyle or Mayne?
Mike Pyle, yeah. I saw Jordan Mean get manhandled by Tyron Woodley back in Strikeforce. Jordan Mean's a beast, and he's a young kid from Canada or whatever, but I think that Mike Pyle's going to be unstoppable.
The only thing about this fight is that Pyle is 38 and Mean is 24.
So he's going to beat him like an uncle.
Interesting. This is my weight division, man. Let's see here. How long ago did this fight get announced? Because if I could be wrong, but I think... Let's see, Mean was supposed to fight Brandon Thatch originally.
And Pyle was supposed to fight Damian Maia, I think.
Okay, so they were both in training. That's what I was getting at. I didn't know if Mike Pyle might have taken this fight on short notice. If that was the case, maybe. I mean, I heard he's a gym rat, like he said, so he's probably always in shape. But if he got it on short notice, maybe Mean had some kind of advantage. This is a tough one, man. I don't know. I'd have to see. But like you said, Pyle, he always brings it, man. I mean, like you said, he's a beast in the gym, not always in the cage, but he's a veteran, and he probably pulls it out.
All right, well, that's good. And then some other guys that are fighting this week, I'm excited to watch Jerome Max Holloway. I love that kid. We had him on the show, and he's a kid from Hawaii, young. He was, at one point, I think, like the youngest guy.
Right.
And I asked him who he'd rather date, Ronda Rousey or Misha Tate, and he told me, I'd rather drown myself.
Bold.
Stupid answer.
Did you ask which vase he'd rather drown himself in?
I know, I didn't ask him that. I knew you were going there, too, as soon as you opened your mouth. Neil Magny is fighting. He's the guy that I went up to him, and I said, yo, I was roasting people, and everyone was so nice to me at the expo. I'm like, Neil Magny, hey, I wrote a joke about you. I'm like, you're most likely to miss legs day at the gym. And he's like, huh? I'm like, I gotta go. It's like, this is really embarrassing. But this is his fourth fight this year.
Wow.
Four fights, which is crazy. But you gotta respect the guy. Ben Saunders is back.
Killer B.
Talos Latis is fighting Carmont, which should be a good fight. Talos Latis is a guy who I remember... Talk about a guy who's been up and down. Remember, he lost to Anderson Silva in a close fight, and then he lost to the guy at the gym, that crazy guy at the gym. You know who I'm talking about? That guy that used to train over at Legends. That was like, he was like really super strong, but there was like kind of I forgot the guy's name. You know him, white guy. He's like his girlfriend worked at the front desk. He was in the UFC.
Toby. Yeah, yeah.
No,
Matt Horwich.
He lost to
the River Doll. Yeah, exactly.
How's Matt Horwich doing?
I haven't seen him recently. When I was going up to Rain now and then, I would run into him. And man, he is Matt Horwich is a unique character, and I love him. I'm not talking trash on him, but he's unique. I think he would say he's unique, but he's crazy, man. He's kind of a hippie fighter. Yeah. And last I spoke with him, I was asking him where he lived, and he said, "Man, you know, I'm living in a tent on the side of the road," and so he was sleeping like in a kind of like a little hippie tent combined thing, and just eating burritos on the side of the road, and then fighting professionally, you know, as an MMA fighter. So. Credit to him, man. I'm trying to get massages and go do acupuncture, and he sleeps on the ground and eats burritos out of the Mexican food truck, and he still brings it. So, Matt Horwich, man, the River Dolphin.
Wow, the River Dolphin.
Yeah, that's his nickname.
The trans universe surfing.
Exactly.
Thing. That dude's universe, like, yeah, yo, he's crazy. Yeah. that's the guy you're talking about. Exactly. That guy's out of his mind.
I wrestled with that guy. He was. I remember he beat Talos Latus. So, and now
they had he beat him and then choked him out.
Yeah,
and then they had a rematch, and Talos Latus got him the second time.
Matt Horwich.
Never mind.
What?
I'm trying to think of what's the chick's name. That she's a comedian. She's really big. She's like
Sarah something.
No, she's like 6'2"
from
Alaska. From
Alaska, yeah, that's his cousin.
That's her cousin. Yeah,
yeah. She always talks about him.
Yeah,
Matt Horwich's cousin.
Yeah, yeah. Matt. She looks like Matt Horwich.
Like, you know, my cousin is like he's something like mentally wrong with him. Like, like he's crazy.
She's always bad mouthing her cousin. She's always telling me like what he's doing, and like it's never good. I'm like, leave your cousin alone. It's your cousin.
That's awesome.
I know you're talking Sarah Boyle, Haley Boyle.
Boyle.
Yeah, she's funny comic,
and she's huge, dude.
Yeah, she looks like Matt Horwich.
You don't even have to throw in the wig.
Yeah, no, she just looks like Matt Horwich. All right, so next week, you know, this is very frustrating because I booked these guys for the podcast, and then I want them to be on it, and then some of the guys that, you know, I don't know. Like, I called Kevin Randleman 4 times. I texted him. I tweeted him, but, you know, it's not happening. So, next week we're having Daniel Cormier, Kevin Randall.
Yeah.
Cormier promises me he's going to be on. Hold on, I'm calling Kevin right now. I'm going to leave a message on Kevin's machine on the actual show.
DC's a fellow Lafayette native as well. So,
really?
Yeah. Daniel Cormier and Dustin Poirier, both from Lafayette, both from my hometown.
So next week... Yeah, it's too late. I got to catch a flight. So next week we're going to have Cormier... We're going to have Randleman, and then we have Michelle Old in the studio.
Yeah.
It's going to be an epic show. So I will be this week. I'm going to be at the Laughing Derby in Louisville, Kentucky. Next week I'm in San Diego doing comedy in San Diego. I don't know where. I'm going to be somewhere in San Diego. You could go to adamhunter.com or MMA Roasted. Where can people find you, Alan?
I will be at home. No, I on Twitter at Alan Joban, or check out my fan page on Facebook. I don't know what it is. Alan Joban at Facebook /official. I don't even know what the hell it is, but find me. I do everything real simple. Alan Joban, that's my name. I don't make any kind of complicated nicknames. Check me out.
Okay, so check him out. I'll be at Legends Comedy Club in San Diego next Friday and Saturday. Legends Comedy Club.
Nice. I'll be at the Ha Ha Cafe this weekend, at least on Saturday night. Other than that, you can find me on Facebook, Todd Rex, and ToddRex.com, Todd Rex on Twitter, ToddRexx.
Now, DJ couldn't make it this week because he's actually been in the toilet the entire show. No, actually, DJ couldn't make it, so instead we have Evan Rodner. Evan the Beardo is helping us, so thank you, Evan, for all your help.
Which means this podcast will probably be up a hell of a lot faster.
You can find Evan.
Certainly will.
You can find Evan on Tinder.
swipe right.
Just swipe right when you see Evan.
He's not lying.
He's not lying. So thank you guys so much for listening to the show.
Alan, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Alan. Good luck with everything, man. Take care, guys.